Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
When I'm asked to do a talk, the first thing that I think of is what would I like to study or look into? Or what do I need to work on or practice with? The preparation time for writing a talk is always rich. It allows me to immerse myself in and research some aspect of spiritual practice. And this inspires me to be more present in my life and to remember to come back to here and now in whatever way that supports me. This brings me to the subject of gratitude. Some years ago, I was having Dokusan with my teacher, Norman Fisher. If I remember correctly, I was recounting how I was feeling unenthusiastic or dry in my life and my practice, maybe also feeling a lack of joy. Norman's strong suggestion for me was to do a gratitude practice, to recount three things that I was grateful for at the end of each day, and to do this every day. And I've been doing this practice over the past few years, off and on. And the more I do it, the more beneficial it is. And more recently, in the past few months, I've had a greater urge to dedicate myself to gratitude as a more conscious practice. It definitely can be a transformational practice. Brother David Steindl-Rast is a Benedictine monk who is well known for his work on gratitude. He founded a network for grateful living. There is also a TED Talk that he did, which is on gratitude, and it's really good. I'd recommend it. Another interesting thing about Brother David that you may appreciate is he studied with several Zen teachers, including Shinryo Suzuki, the founder of our lineage. Brother David suggests that there are two qualities to gratitude. One, appreciation that something is valuable to you which has nothing to do with its monetary worth. Two, gratitude is gratis. It is freely given to you. An example that I think of would be, say, a natural disaster, fire, earthquake, flooding. Someone loses their home and all their possessions in this disaster. But people give freely of food, shelter, clothing, and even emotional support. These donors may be friends, neighbors, or complete strangers. And even though the person may be in shock from the trauma of losing their home and possessions, they will invariably feel gratitude as a result of all that has been given to them. So, appreciation for something personally valuable that is freely given. Another example would be when we make eye contact with this complete stranger and give them a big smile. Psychologist Robert Emmons is considered a world-leading scientific expert on gratitude. He also says that gratitude has two components. It is an affirmation of goodness. We affirm that there are good things in the world, gifts and benefits that we've received. Two, we recognize that this goodness is outside of ourselves. We acknowledge that people, or even higher powers, if you're of a spiritual mindset, give us many gifts, big and small, to help us achieve the goodness in our lives. Goodness. Here's a quote from the Buddha that touches on this. Do not do anything harmful. Do only what is good. Purify and train your mind. Do only what is good. Right from the Buddha's mouth. Basic goodness is a core concept in Buddhism, particularly Buddhist psychology. And it's likened to the story of the Golden Buddha, and this is actually a true story. There's a stucco Buddha statue in Bangkok, Thailand, that was housed in a minor temple in the city. One day when the statue was being moved by ropes, one of the ropes broke and the statue fell, cracking open some of the covering. revealing the solid gold beneath. This is a metaphor for our basic goodness. This is our core, but it's covered over, so we don't always realize that we are solid gold at our very core. Goodness and the cultivation of it is supported by gratitude, and gratitude itself can be cultivated and strengthened. Gratitude connects us to each other. When someone does something for me or gives me something, besides a feeling of gratitude that this evokes, it makes me want to give back or to do the same thing for someone else. Emmons, the gratitude expert I just mentioned, calls this reciprocity. We want to reciprocate by giving something back. This implies a mutual dependence on each other. It connects us to one another through goodness and kind acts. Once in a parking lot in Kelowna, I hit another car and did some damage. The driver wasn't in the car at the time, so I was writing a note to put on his car, and as I did, he returned to the car. And I remember being quite nervous about having to tell this fellow that I had damaged his car. So I was feeling pretty nervous. And you know what he said? Don't worry about it. Pass it on. Of course, I was very thankful that I was let off the hook for having to pay for any damage. But I was very moved when he also instructed me to pass it on. There was a phrase coined in the early 80s, practice random acts of kindness and senseless acts of beauty, which is eventually morphed into a movement that supports spreading kindness in the world, spreading goodness. This is a worldwide movement. I only wish we could hear more about these acts rather than the violence that we hear about on the news. The interdependence, or interbeing, as Thich Nhat Hanh likes to call it, is the dependence of two or more people or things on each other. As Buddhist practitioners, we know that our tendency as human beings is to see ourselves as separate. We forget that we are interconnected and interdependent. But as the saying goes, we are all one. Gratitude allows us to experience this interdependence, this connection with others. When we look at a plate of food before we start to eat, right in the rice, we can appreciate the work of the farmer who grew the rice, as well as the people who harvested the rice, the sun, the water, and earth that were part of the growing process. Right in that rice, we can see all of these things. Without all these things together, there would be no food on our plate. To stop and really take this in is to be grateful. This is from a talk that Norman Fisher gave titled Suffering and Gratitude. There is no such thing as an isolated individual. We could say such a thing. We might think there is such a thing. Many of our thoughts and motivations seem to be based on this idea, which is why we are suffering so much. But it is not a true idea. Literally, every thought in our minds, every emotion that we feel, every word that comes out of our mouth, this material sustenance that we need to get through the day comes from the kindness of and the interaction with others. Not only people, but non-humans too. The whole of the earth, the soil, the sky, the air we breathe, the water we drink. We are all of that, and all of that is us. This is not a theory or a poetic reflection. It is simply the bald fact of the matter. That's why we are grateful, because we are everything and everything is us. We can't do without one another. Being is gratefulness. Living is gratefulness. There is a strong correlation between gratitude and happiness. As Brother David Steindl Rast says, if you want to be happy, be grateful. Except that he says, grateful. And we all want to be happy. Besides, wouldn't the world be a better place if there was happiness and happier people? If I'm grateful, I'm not fearful. And if I'm not fearful, I'm not violent. I'm coming from a place of enough and a place of and not a place of scarcity, and I'm more willing to share that with others. I was once asked what I wanted from life. This was some 25 years ago, and I remember I blurted out, "I want to be happy." And after I spoke those words, I thought, what a superficial, unimportant aspiration. That's my big aspiration, to be happy? But the more I've thought about it, the more I think that it's no small thing, happiness. And I know that when I feel happy, I am kinder and more compassionate to both myself and others. I feel more connected to life and other beings. From that positive place, I have more to offer others and automatically want to help others. So, I now aspire to be as happy as possible. And from what I understand about gratitude, it is definitely a doorway to happiness. There's also a relationship between gratitude and patience. When we're grateful, we're in a place of enough rather than wanting more. When I truly feel thankful for the things in my life, a nice home, a good job, good health, there is a sense of fulfillment and not needing more. It counteracts greed. In the book club I belong to in Seashell, we are currently reading Lama Surya Das's book, Awakening the Buddha Within. In the chapter on right action, which is one of the eight of the Eightfold Path, Surya Das touches on this in this passage. The act of working with our life and our karma, learning to accept whatever comes our way, and even saying thank you for it, as one sage teaches, is one of the most difficult challenges on the path to enlightenment. Are we able to open to each experience and every moment just as it is? Are we always looking for something else, something more, better, different? Are we able to accept what our nearest and dearest do, think, and even wear? Or do we squirm, demand, complain, resent, carp, and argue? The non-grasping heart is naturally open, accepting, and able to say thank you for whatever it is. It is the threshold of an unconditional way of being, the supreme spiritual value. Learning to accept whatever comes our way. I had a lesson in this just recently. I had just had a lovely encounter with a person and was feeling really happy. And literally minutes later, another encounter with another person who I took to be quite thoughtless and rude. I was surprised at my reaction, like how reactive I was and my irritability. I was even muttering under my breath, and it was not words of gratitude and thanks. As I was leaving the building I was in, it struck me how great ungrateful I was feeling, and I think it was because I was so aware of you know, gratitude. I'd been trying to be aware of cultivating it and looking for it everywhere, and this came up. I was also really disappointed in my strong reaction and the angry mindset that hung around for quite some time that day. And I really wanted to find a way that would include gratitude in that event. And lo and behold, by the next day, I could actually feel grateful to that person in terms of pointing out to me a place where I was stuck, how reactive I am in a situation where I feel somehow disregarded. And I actually think this is what we do for one another. We point out the places we're stuck by provoking us. Now, we don't always do this intentionally, but can we be grateful when that happens? And it reminds me of the story of the Bengali tea boy. And this is an anecdote I've told before, but it's lovely. It's from Pema Chodron, and she related it when she was teaching on patience. Atisha was a well-known Indian Buddhist teacher who lived between 980 and 1050 AD, so a long time ago. He was invited to go to Tibet and teach. He had learned that the Tibetans were such a lovely people that he would not be provoked while he was there. And he knew that he needed someone who would provoke him so he could continue to develop patience and continue his spiritual development. He really believed this. So he brought his Bengali tea boy with him on the journey. This Bengali man was a very cranky, ill-tempered fellow who I understand provoked Atisha constantly. We all have Bengali tea boys in our life. And although we don't usually appreciate these people, we actually should feel grateful to them for pointing out those parts of us that are obnoxious, narrow-minded, and difficult. Patience is one of the six paramitas or perfections in Buddhism, as well as one of the seven factors of enlightenment. And gratitude directly develops patience. And I just want to add that accepting whatever comes our way and even saying thank you for it, as just mentioned, does not mean that we can be grateful for everything that comes our way, like violence, oppression, exploitation, hatred, war. But we can have gratitude for the challenges and difficulties in our life. Kate gave a talk on the beauty of winter a few weeks ago. It struck me when I was listening that this was also about gratitude and the cultivation of it, seeing bare branches of a deciduous tree outlined against the gray winter sky. It's beautiful and a gift, and evokes in us, or may, a feeling of gratitude. Something given to us, no strings attached, that we can deeply appreciate. So finding beauty in our world helps us to cultivate gratefulness. I often think of flowers when I think of beauty. I feel happy just looking at them. Their presence is such a gift. This is an excerpt from a blog I found entitled Beauty, Gratitude, and the Open Heart. And I have a disclaimer. In the original quote, the author used the word soul. I had to change it to Buddha nature. I encourage you to consider feeding your Buddha nature with beauty. There's nothing like awe and gratitude for something beautiful, to open the heart to gratitude in general. If you can love the intricate design in the bark of a tree, or the vibrancy of a flower, or the balance of a beautifully thrown piece of pottery, that might lead you into loving and appreciating the beauty of your Buddha nature and the Buddha nature of others. It might open you to feeling gratitude for your life and the sacred privilege of experiencing your journey on this planet. And speaking of trees, they are definitely a gateway for me to gratitude. Often when I am in the forest, I stop and look around at the trees and admire them and appreciate them for their beauty and strength. There's also something very reassuring and grounding about trees, especially big ones. Sometimes I actually tell those trees that they are beautiful in my outside voice. This gratitude that I feel at this time connects me into something that is way bigger than myself. The universe, Buddha nature. Nature is such a great place to experience awe and appreciation. Many years ago, I was taking a class. This is on the Sunshine Coast where I live. I can't remember the title or even what the general premise was, but one of the take-home messages from that class has stayed with me, that we need a certain amount of positivity in our life to evolve and transform. I vaguely remember this chart that depicted emotional levels starting at the bottom with despair, shame, depression, and then you'd move up. And as you went higher, You get into joy, peace, love, and enlightenment. Now, in order to make positive changes in our life, to evolve or transform, we need to be at a certain level on that continuum. If you're in a place of despair, apathy, depression, one tends to be stuck in that negative realm. It's hard to climb out of a hole we might be in. It's helpful or even necessary to get to a more positive level. Good old Google. I actually found such a chart from, you know, what I remembered. And the one I found was called The Map of Consciousness by Dr. Hawkins, who was apparently a renowned American psychiatrist. And there on the chart was a line that bisected the lower emotional and energetic levels from the higher ones. Once you're above the line, your emotional level is more positive and your vibration would be higher. A wise person I know recently told me that we are just energy beings evolving by refining our energy or vibration. And what struck me again is that cultivating gratitude or practicing gratitude is an effective way to raise our emotional and vibrational level. And it's particularly helpful when we're stuck in some level of negativity. And you remember I told you about how Norman gave me this practice when I was kind of not feeling so great about things. A favorite Dharma article of mine that I've come back to a few times was from Inquiring Mind, which was a twice-yearly Buddhist publication that ran from 1984 to 2015. James Braz, a well-known Vipassana teacher, wrote this particular article, and it's called Frame It with Gratitude. One year, I was in Los Angeles, visiting my then 89-year-old mother. I brought with me a copy of Greater Good magazine, published by a couple of brilliant minds at the University of California at Berkeley. Their focus is on reporting the breaking research on altruism and well-being. The topic of the particular issue I had with me was the beneficial effects of gratitude. As we sat at the dining room table, eating the special eggplant dish my mother always makes for me, I told her about some of the findings. See, she said she was impressed by the reports, but admitted she had a lifetime habit of looking at the glass half empty. I know I'm very fortunate and have so many things to be thankful for, but little things just set me off. She said she wished she could change the habit, but had doubts whether that was possible. I'm just more used to seeing what's going wrong, she concluded. You know, Mom, the key to gratitude is really in the way we frame a situation. For instance, suppose all of a sudden your television isn't getting good reception. That's a scenario I can relate to, she agreed with a knowing smile. One way to describe your experience would be to say, "This is so annoying, I could scream." Or you could say, "This is so annoying. And my life is really very blessed." She agreed that they could that this could make a difference. So over the next few days of his visit, Braz and his mom practiced a made-up gratitude game where every time she complained about something, he would say, "And?" To which she would respond, "And my life is very blessed." It started out as a game, but then this exercise seemed to really have a powerful effect. Even after leaving, Braz continued to support his mother's gratitude practice with frequent phone calls. His sister, who had been away, called to ask him, "What did you do to Mom?" His mother continued to do this practice, and according to James, the change in her was revolutionary. He ends the article with this: "The choice is ours. We can go through life focusing on the burdens or letting our challenges serve as reminders of the blessing that also surround us. Maybe the story of my 90-year-old mother can inspire you to remember in the midst of life's hassles, that your life too is really very blessed. I've mentioned some ways to practice with gratitude. Of course, there's many ways to practice with this, but I'm just going to give three suggestions if you're interested to take this up. One is every night before going to sleep, remember three things that you are grateful for that happened that day. Number two, slow down and appreciate moments of beauty, kindness, and joy that are always happening to us and around us. We live in such a fast world, and we often don't slow down to notice these moments. It's worth it to stop and pay attention, and when we do this, we feel grateful. Number three, this is especially a practice for those of us who tend to be glass half empty kind of people, or when we're feeling negative. When you find yourself complaining about something, remember to add, "And my life is really very blessed." Frame it with gratitude. During the past 2 to 3 weeks, I have made a conscious effort to be aware of gratitude and to find it wherever and whenever I could. Besides the three practices that I just mentioned, I would sometimes just bring up the word gratitude and see if in that moment there is something that I could appreciate. And just like mindfulness, gratitude will strengthen if we keep remembering to bring it into our lives through slowing down, stopping and looking, to remember and reflect on what has been given to us and be mindful of when we're feeling negative and to counter that with the recognition of how blessed our lives are. We take our lives for granted so much. We can easily appreciate goodness and nice gifts and things that people have done for us, but can we learn to really appreciate the gift of this life that we've been given? Can we aspire to be grateful for every moment, regardless of what is happening? I'm going to end with a poem by Rumi, and this is a very often recited poem. You've probably heard it before. I know I have. But I thought it was quite apt. It's called The Guest House. This human being is a guest house. Every morning, a new arrival, a joy, a depression, a meanness. Some momentary awareness comes as an unexpected visitor. Welcome and entertain them all, even if they're a crowd of sorrows who violently sweep your house empty of its furniture. Still treat each guest honorably. He may be clearing you out for some delight. The dark thought, the shame, the malice. Meet them at the door laughing and invite them in. Be grateful for whoever comes because each has been sent as a guide from beyond. Thank you for listening with gratitude.
Chant on page 3.
May